Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I'm FPL D Unit and today you are here for game week 30. Yes, wild card game week 30 for me. Team selection, final thoughts, final decisions, everything you need to know ahead of the deadline tomorrow. It is midweek deadline post the FA Cup. I'm even covering the FA Cup results, what we're likely to see in blank game week 34, what it means for your teams right here, right now, and why I am wildcarding in game week 30 instead of 31. And obviously, I'll be covering the Erling Haaland news, and that is big news because he is currently sitting in my team, but he was in a moon boot post the game. He went off injured. If he was Bruno Fernandes, I'd be pretty confident he'll be playing. However, he's not Bruno Fernandes. He's Erling Haaland, and maybe he's not made of the same strong stuff as Bruno is of Manchester United. Without further ado, can you please smash a like on the video, share it with your friends, leave me a comment about your moves, your thoughts ahead after the FA Cup results, and if you haven't already, please sign in and subscribe to the channel, and let's jump into it. So, the FA Cup results, the quarterfinal results, what did we learn from them? Well, I can tell you that Bournemouth versus Man United is no longer going to be doubling, which has completely ruled out my hope to play the triple captain on Bruno Fernandes. That hope has been extinguished like it's never been extinguished before. It's not going to be happening this year. Unfortunately, Bruno will not have any doubles, which is kind of sad. And you never know, he might not be at the club next year if he's had enough of playing for our lot. What we did learn is that Nottingham Forest are pretty damn good defensively. Manchester City actually looked really good in the second half versus Bournemouth. The first half, they were pretty ordinary. In fact, I thought both teams defensively were pretty ordinary in the first half. Obviously, Bournemouth were missing Kirkes and Hoyton, which probably made a big difference as to why Manchester City went through. Crystal Palace and Aston Villa. Aston Villa were pretty, I don't know, mediocre the first half, and I'm still not sold on their assets moving forward, but they were really good in the second half. And Marcus Rashford, it was good to cheer him on. Being a United fan, I feel sorry for him that it hasn't worked quite out at the club, but I'm glad that he's doing well for Aston Villa, and I hope that he continues to do well for them. And Palace, obviously, they've been brilliant as well. So those are the four teams that are through. It does affect three fixtures now, only three fixtures, which means that blank game week 34 is probably going to be the exact same size as what blank game week 29 was. So let's have a look at what the fixtures are that are going to be affected. So, now we have confirmed fixtures for seven games going ahead, confirmed for blank game week 34. So it's not going to be a big blank game week at all. Chelsea versus Everton is on. Liverpool versus Spurs is on. Wolves versus Leicester is on. Newcastle versus Ipswich is on. Southampton versus Fulham is on. Brighton versus West Ham is on. And now Bournemouth versus Man United is on. Manchester City versus Aston Villa will definitely be rearranged because of the fact that Aston Villa is still in Europe. And Arsenal versus Crystal Palace will be rearranged as well because of the fact that Arsenal are also in Europe, like Aston Villa. It's highly likely, not 100% sure until the Premier League come out and say it, but that will go into double game week 33. So that's now four teams that we know will definitely double in game week 33. Now, Nottingham Forest and their fixture with Brentford probably won't go into double game week 33 or 35 because of the fact that they have Monday night football already scheduled for those particular game weeks, which makes it impossible with the other games on the weekend to slam another game in there at all. Unless I suppose in theory they could do Monday, Thursday, Sunday, but that seems a bit harsh. I just don't think that's going to happen. So it's highly likely that that would just be rescheduled for the midweek of blank game week 34. So there will actually be eight fixtures. It will just still be part of game week 34. It won't go into any other one. And therefore, it means that we're looking at a very similar blank game week as to what we had in game week 29. And for me, I managed to navigate that just by playing 11 players. Ended up having 12, but unfortunately Cole Palmer didn't play, so I ended up having 11. So that worked out quite well. But I think it's easily navigatable now to do. I think I just made a word up there. So I wouldn't be stressing too much about that at all. So yeah, just keep that in mind. It's not something you should be worrying about too much, but that's how the fixtures are looking for blank game week 34 now. So on to the assistant managers, we have table bonus in game week 30. And again, I'm only going to cover this in like 30 seconds. Frank is still at number one, Amarin at number two, Postecoglou at number three, Silva at number four, and I wouldn't even bother going over number five, six, and seven. Seven games of table bonus this week. Most people with the assistant manager chip, I'll be recommending playing it next week and I'll be chasing a good manager next week. I actually fancy Ruben Amorim against Pep Guardiola next week at Old Trafford. I think that that could be a really nice intro before then moving it on to Oliver Glasner. I don't think there's likely to be table bonus on offer for Glasner in 31. So, yeah, I'm not 100% sure. It just depends on the results, I think, because Brighton is obviously quite high up, but Crystal Palace are likely to beat Southampton. Brighton, are they going to beat Aston Villa midweek? I'm not sure. That may affect their positioning and whether they're within five places or not. If they are, if they're over five places, I'd be just playing it on Glasner and leaving it on that and only going with two Palace assets this week. That's the only thing you really need to know. If you've still got the assistant manager chip, you probably need to be wary of the fact you can't have three Palace players plus Glasner. You can only have two. So that needs to come into your thinking moving forward. So on to my final plugs for game week 30. To wildcard or not to wildcard? That is the question, right? That's what everyone's talking about in FPL at the moment. And I said early on that I preferred it. After looking at the fixtures, I had no Palace assets. I had no Newcastle assets. They both had pretty good fixtures in game week 30. Makes a lot of sense to go early. And the fact that the way the fixtures are going to fall from the FA Cup results on the weekend, I don't really understand why you would wait to 31. Unless you're worried about Haaland, maybe he's only going to miss a game and then you get him in for 31. I'm just not sure that that is the greatest play in the world. So for me, I think that you just got to go with your gut. And for me, I am going to be going with wildcard 30 and we'll have a look at how my team selection goes accordingly based off that. As I said, it's a great week for table bonus. There's seven different games, seven different managers on offer this week. But again, I think it just comes a week too early. If that double didn't happen for Crystal Palace, I could definitely foresee a world where you could have played at 31, so 30 to 32. I just think the best optimum time, if you've still got that chip, 31 to 33, ignore the bench boost, ignore the triple cap, and you can play that one in single game weeks, no problems at all. I think that'll be perfectly fine. You've got to lock in those extra fixtures for the assistant manager chip, and we know that 32 is definitely confirmed, and 33 is highly likely to be confirmed as well. Now, Haaland owners, do you stick or twist? I bought him in for game week 29. I took a -4 to do it. Am I keeping him on wildcard? At the moment, I've still got him in the team. If he goes out of the team, all of a sudden, I have a vacuum of money to spend. And part of me is like going, if I don't keep Haaland, maybe I just play it safe and go, all right, every other man and his dog is going to be bringing in Marmoush for Haaland, targeting that Leicester fixture. So I almost have to buy Marmoush if we hear that Haaland's not fit, because everyone else is going to be doing it. If he pops off, I'm just going to be losing points to all those people that are doing it. And I don't think there's a third better forward outside of Haaland, Mateta and Isak if they're all fit. Marmoush definitely is a distant fourth. But for me, if Haaland's out, Marmoush definitely comes into that top three. Maybe Phil Foden's a shout as well in that event, because obviously they're going to need the creativity and Kevin De Bruyne pretty much played the whole game against Bournemouth. Can he back it up 3 days later? I'm not so sure. Again, these are questions all need to be asked, and it's just annoying. It would have been great if Haaland hadn't have had his ankle driven into the ground and I wouldn't even be contemplating. I would just have Haaland this week. Blank game week 34, as I said, is now highly likely to be similar to blank game week 29, and that's all you need to know. I think it's very navigationable. I don't think you really need to be saving a free hit for it unless you're going absolutely mad and getting 12 players from Aston Villa, Arsenal, Crystal Palace and Man City. So the best defenders to buy this week are Munoz, number one. He is definitely a clear number one with that Southampton fixture straight off the bat. Milinkovic comes in at number two. Burn, number three. Guardiola, number four. Kirkez, number five. De Zarzi, number six. And then it's Arsenal defenders. The only reason why they're down there is because I just don't think the Fulham fixture is overly amazing. But if you're on wildcard, you probably need to get them in, like I am this week, to make sure you're covered for future weeks. I just don't know if the entry point this week is actually all that good for Arsenal defenders. In terms of the midfielders to buy, this is Mali Assar, number one, just. I've got him just in front of Eze, because of the fact that he is still 1 million cheaper. He has risen in price overnight, so he's no longer 5.6. So if you're waiting, you probably waited a little bit too long, so you're going to have to pay up an extra 0.1 for him. Jacob Murphy comes in at number three, Clive at number four, Bowen number five, Fernandez number six, Alanga number seven, Foden number eight, Savinho number nine, and Kevin De Bruyne, if you really want to take a risk, comes in at number 10. I don't mind the punt. I just think that Pep Roulette is something I don't really want to invest in too much. In the forwards, it is now Isak number one to buy. I did have this with Isak number one, Haaland number two, Mateta number three. However, Haaland's now dropped down to number six because We'll talk about that in a second. Valens at number three, Marmoush number four, Jorgen Strand Larsen number five. Haaland, I still think, is an option. Like, on my team, I could theoretically still buy Haaland this week, keep him on wildcard, and just deal with it if he's not available. Because I still want him for, like, 33 or whatever. I don't think, unless he's got significant ankle ligament injuries, and I've done my ankle a couple of times, the way he sort of got up straight away made me think, oh, it's not going to be too bad, they're just going to strap it up. But because they don't have the time to strap it up and then send him back on, I think that's why they just substituted him off. I think if he could have had it strapped up or whatever, he would have been perfectly fine. So it would you to see, obviously he was in the moon boot. It is one of those ones, you're going to have to be listening out for Pep's press conference prior to the deadline tomorrow. But that is something I just wanted to keep in mind. So, covering how I did in game week 29, which feels like an absolute ancient time ago, it was a very good week. I obviously took a minus four and I bought in Haaland, Creswell and Areola for Becker, Trent Alexander-Arnold and whoever the hell else I had up front that I can't remember. How bad is that? Isak. That's who I had, Isak. So, it worked out pretty well. I mean, I was brilliantly held together by Sunday night football. Milenkovic, my best defender to buy in game week 29, delivered with 11 points, just showing you why he's better than the Arsenal defense. And then Bruno Fernandes came in clutch with the captaincy call, 34 points. That almost took me inside the top 1K. I am 1 point off the top 1K, FYI. So hopefully playing a wild card in 30 might get me ahead of hopefully 1,053 other people. No, it won't get me that much of a difference, but hopefully it gets me up the rankings a little bit. I've obviously still got three other chips to play, the triple captain, the bench boost, and the free hit. So I'm looking pretty good towards the end of the season. Hopefully I can have a top 10K, maybe even a top 5K finish. And if I'm really lucky, maybe I can finish inside the top 1,000 teams in my first year doing videos for FPL content. So yeah, it was a pretty good week. I obviously held Salah on the bench. He was the one I did keep. I had too much team value wrapped up in him in order to move him. And Cole Palmer obviously disappointed, but it worked out quite well because Kerkez came off the bench with his 4 points, and that was a pretty good return, whereas most people that had Cole Palmer blanking had no points on their bench to bring on for him. So the transfers I've now made on wildcard, and I've confirmed these, all these players are currently out of my team and into my team. So the players that have left so far are Cole Palmer, Wissa, Creswell, who was just a filler that I didn't need and was always going to leave on wildcard this week. Areola at the moment is out, but he may come back in. I'm still not sure whether it's worth spending up 10 odd million on your goalkeepers, but that's a conversation that I need to think about between now and the deadline stream. Aitnori, I just don't want to be trolled anymore, so he'll probably deliver a goal this week. And then Fabianski, obviously he's not playing, so he needed to go. Brighton Puemo is stiff, but in reality, the Brentford fixtures are telling me, and look, I got rid of Phil Foden for this very reason for Brighton Puemo. The fixtures are no good. And this was the moment where I was going to bring back Phil Foden. He isn't back at the moment, but that's because of the fact I just didn't really rate his performance yesterday in the game against Bournemouth. Chris the Woody Woodpecker, I thank you for your service. It's been two times and out. He probably is done with me for the season. And Anthony Robinson, that Fulham fixture run, especially with no doubles now, is just not good enough. He needed to be moved on. So in come three Newcastle players, three Crystal Palace players. So I've gone for Isak, Pope and Jacob Murphy at the moment. I've gone for Ismaili Assar, Munoz and Mateta. And then I've gone with Nico Williams and as a cheap defender, which may well change. That could well become Byrne. Pope could become Areola, based on those fixtures in game week 33 when I am going to be playing my bench boost. Gabriel is in also, and so is Raya, so I've got the Arsenal defense well and truly covered. So I'm pretty happy with the way that's looking. I would have really loved if Crystal Palace had lost because I didn't really want to go anywhere near Arsenal, but here we are, they won. So now I've got to really consider Arsenal, especially up until that blank game week 34. So the big question here is the game week 30 captaincy decision. And most people now, with Haaland being under any sort of injury cloud, will probably revert back to Mo Salah. And at the moment, he's got my vice captaincy on in my team selection. And I think that he is realistically the most obvious point to go to in terms of captaincy. I mean, he's been brilliant all season, right? He's been absolutely brilliant. Mateta has got Southampton. I would have liked to have seen a bit more against him against Fulham, but, you know, they're playing Southampton and he's got to be an option. I mean, Eze and Sarr could also be options if you really wanted to be out there. Isak, he's been in great form and he's got Brentford at home. It looks like a fixture to attack as well for him. The only thing I would say is that he hasn't got Gordon in the team this week, so that might affect his output. Clivett obviously has Ipswich, and I just think that's a great fixture. There's a reason why I want to keep Clivett, and it's mainly for this week in game week 30. I'm quite happy. I'm open to selling him for an Aston Villa midfielder post this week, but I really want him for game week 30. I don't think there's any... I just feel like he's got some good returns there. Haaland is definitely the one where I was 100% going to be captaining against Leicester. That was the team to target. We saw with Bruno Fernandes, 17 points against them. Everyone literally destroys them. Haaland actually got a lot of good chances against Bournemouth as well, and I would have expected him to do the exact same against Leicester. The fact that he's now potentially out makes Marmoush a really interesting prospect. Maybe he can profit from the fact that Haaland won't be there, and maybe he returns with a massive haul. So again, maybe you might go there and just decide you want to captain Marmoush. But those are the six options for me this week if you've got any of them in your team. So the benching ratings this week, and for defenders, it's got to be Munoz right at the top this week. Gvardiol, Kerkez, Arsenal defence in that order. Hojsun, Liverpool defence, Milenkovic, Palace defence, Newcastle defence. I think they come just below those assets. They're just so good, those other ones. I just really rate them. Forest defence then comes in. Robinson, Castagne and Mikalenko, if you've still got him. I don't even know if he's going to be fit or available for this game. Midfielders, it's the Palace mids. 100%, they have to be the top of the ticker this week. City mids, ditto. They've also got that Leicester fixture. It's a brilliant thing. Bournemouth mids also. Clivett Semenya, you can see they're up and about. Bowen as well. Wolves fixture screams points for me there, and I think he's really good. Matoma's not got a bad fixture. Aston Villa, I think, might be a bit giddy after making the FA Cup semi-finals. Fernandes against a Nottingham Forest team that's played 120 minutes. I could see him definitely returning. Alanga, Gibbs-White, they're not bad. They're playing against Man United's defence. And Bueno against Newcastle. Matoma, I've got him on there twice. Don't know why he's on there the second time. Maybe it's because of the fact that I don't really rate him. Nah, I don't know. Minte and Trossard. I did wonder why Trossard, there was another name underneath that and I didn't have room, and that's probably what happened. I accidentally put Matoma in there twice. Forwards, it is still Haaland. If Haaland is fit and available, he is the number one forward to be playing this week. Then it's Isak, then it's Mateta, then it's Marmoush, then it's Wissab Wood, Jorgen Strand Larsen, Gakpo, Watkins, João Pedro, Welbeck, Raul and Delap in that order. If I've missed anyone off there, it's probably because of the fact I don't really rate them as an asset, or I've just try to throw them in. These are the more popular ones. And I think with a lot of people wildcarding, these will be the things that you've got to work through and what I've got to work through myself in terms of my own team selection. So on to my team selection this week and the players that have come into my lineup. So my team is going to look significantly different to what it looked like in game week 29. So we've got Raya starting in goal, and this is a real toss-up because at the moment I do have Pope on my team as well. And Pope with Brentford at home may be better than Fulham at home. I'm just backing in the fact that Arsenal defence is meant to be this much better, and everyone keeps waffling on about how good they are. Watch them concede a goal and me just be infuriated with the lot of them, and I should have played Milenkovic, who probably gets a clean sheet and probably a goal against Man United. But look, it is a really hard team selection this week. As you can see there, I've got Milenkovic and Nico Williams on the bench with that Manchester United fixture. I'm expecting Bruno Fernandes to return in that fixture, which is why I've gone for them. And also, how could I bench Munoz when he's got Southampton away, Kerkez when he's got Ipswich at home, Gabriel with Fulham at home? They're all pretty damn good fixtures for my assets. So I just think that it makes a lot of sense not to not go there, if that makes sense. Like, ideally, this is a week where I could also bench Bruce. Like, you'll see the rest of the lineup and it's scary how good the benching is going to be. And it's been like this pretty much all season as well for me, so it makes it very difficult. So the midfield, as we can see there, we've got Ismaili Assar in for Cole Palmer. He's obviously in there, the Southampton away fixture as well. Salah, the vice-captain, he's got the Everton at home fixture. Clivett has Ipswich at home. I'm not sure why it's got Brentford there. It's just obviously the two players I didn't update, but it's definitely Ipswich at home. Ignore the Brentford thing. Bruno Fernandes obviously has Nottingham Forest away, but I'm still expecting him to outperform Jacob Murphy at home to Brentford. That's really off-putting when you see Newcastle assets with Brentford and and what do you call it? Bournemouth assets with Brentford. But the Bournemouth boys definitely have Ipswich, which is why they're staying on wildcard at the moment. Obviously, Jacob Murphy, Milinkovic, Nico Williams. It's an amazing bench, right? Again, I'm going to be benching, have headaches every single week up until when I start moving some money out of my bench. And up front, that leaves me with the him trilogy. So I've got Mateta, Isak, and I've got Erling Haaland. Now, Erling Haaland is Leicester at home, and that is captaincy right there and then. Obviously, there's a lot of green on my fixtures this week, which looks pretty damn good on paper. I'm expecting a lot of points. You would expect so. When you wildcard, you generally expect a lot of points. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way, but majority of time, it definitely does. So on all honesty, I would be expecting at least 70 points from a slam. Now, if Erling Haaland is not fit and he's not available, there's every chance that I just keep the extra 7 million for when he is fit and available, and I just swap Haaland out for Marmoush on wildcard, and I just bank the money, and then I play Clive this week against Ipswich at home, and maybe then I can see whether Cole Palmer's back in form, I can see whether Saka is getting good minutes for Arsenal, and then it's an easy Clive it to one of them. But, and I'll have the money to do it, and maybe Marmoush stays and I just completely ignore Haaland. I am open to that idea, and it does give me another week to think about those particular moves. And I'm not going to be disappointed because I'm still going to have Marmoush against Leicester. So I still think I'm covering that Man City lineup pretty well. Maybe Phil Foden pops off as well and I can just hop back on the bandwagon of him. But it doesn't mean that, it just means that I'll have that Clive at fixture thing. Maybe there's a world where I can just get rid of Bruno if I get rid of Haaland as well. I have weighed that up, whether it's worth getting someone else like a Jared Bowen or someone like that with Wolves and then Southampton and 33. That does look really appealing as well. And it is somewhere else potentially I could move moving forward. I'm just not sure how it's going to fall. But at the moment, this is the lineup with 0 million left in the bank. So on to the game week 30 deadline decisions and the things that you need to be aware of and thinking at the subconsciously in your brain in terms of how you want your team to focus. And game week 30, 34 navigation. That is the key thing. It is all about the next 4 weeks, maximizing the points. That's why I'm wildcarding this week, to maximize my points in game week 30. You just saw my team selection for game week 30. Based on that team, even without Haaland and Haaland for Marmoush, the team looks unbelievably good on paper. There's so many green fixtures, you'll be expecting a really big score. And if you delay the wildcard, your team might not be as optimized for game week 30 and you miss out on those points. And that could in turn affect your ranking. Again, if you wait though, maybe it goes a little bit different and you have a bit more information to roll with. I'm not 100% sure. That's just the way that I look at it from my own perspective. So what it comes down to is I'm using my wildcard to target the immediate double and fixtures for Palace and Newcastle. It's absolutely key as well as covering that Manchester City attack, Aston Villa and Arsenal assets. Now, I don't have any Aston Villa assets because I'm not sold on any of them. Now, Nico Williams could become a disaster. And maybe Marcus Rashford could come in for a Bruno Fernandes instead on wildcard. I'm open to these ideas. I just think that Villa are going to eventually start looking leggy. And there's a lot of rotation there, the potential that it could happen as well, which is kind of scaring me off their assets a little bit. I don't want to just pick one of their assets if they're only going to play one of those two games and play 15 minutes off their bench in the other, because I might as well just go with someone of a really good fixture in game week 33 instead then, if that's what my plan of attack is, if I'm using my bench boost that week. So, again, that comes down to assets to target. This all comes down to your choice. Your choice and your choice alone. Sometimes I have really good feelings about players and I just want to keep them, or I want to buy them, or I want to move them on. And the reading of the fixtures. And again, that does come down. If you're going to definitely bench boost in 33, don't just look at the doublers. Look at the people that have got amazing fixtures in 33 and bring them in on your wild card. Like, I still need to think about whether I want the West Ham assets because they have Southampton in 33 when I am going to be bench boosting. And that makes so much more sense to me. Plus, I also then know that they're going to have a fixture in 34. So that's also half decent. It's not the best. It's not as good a fixture as Southampton as it in 34, but it's still a fixture nonetheless. I'm obviously, as I said, not overly sold on Aston Villa as a team to target, and I could ignore them all. I ignored them all in double game week 25. The only person I had from them was Unai Emery. And again, that might be something that you look at as yourself on assistant manager. Maybe you just go for Unai Emery in some of their games. Haaland's injury, as I said before, has thrown a huge spanner in my wildcard draft. As you can see, my team selection is all around spending my money on Erling Haaland. Now, I could save the money and just transfer him back in. Is that a viable option? Is it worth just keeping 7.3 million or whatever it is in my bank, 7.4 million in my bank because I bought him at 14.7, and then bring in Marmoush, who potentially might rise in price. In fact, he's almost 100% likely to rise in price. Haaland's probably going to fall if he is injured. It makes a lot of sense, and then I could get some team value back that way. I'm not sure is the honest answer. Or I just spread the money around the rest of the squad. My squad's pretty good anyway. It's still over 100 million worth squad, even with Haaland out of the team. So, like, for Marmoush, I'd still, with that 7 million in the bank, it's still worth 100 million in my squad. So maybe it's a play. I just got to think about it. That is definitely coming into my line of thinking. Blanking players in game week 34. Now, do you need to be worried about it? My opinion at the moment is you worry about that when the fixtures are finalised. Now, we're highly likely thinking that they're going to be those two fixtures, Palace versus Arsenal and Man City versus Aston Villa. We're highly likely expecting them to blank in 34 and double in 33. And I just think you just set your team up for what you expect those doubles to be. Because they're going to double at some point, right? Or they're going to stay in 34. So either way, as long as your team's targeting those players and you've got the players that you want to cover, play the fixtures. That is the key. Play the fixtures. Southampton, target. Leicester, target. Play them. That's one of the reasons why I'm only considering about bringing Guardiola in, because of the fact that they've got Leicester. If it wasn't for Leicester, I probably wouldn't even be bothering with a Manchester City defender, to be honest with you. Then it comes down to, is it playing safe the best option if you've got a rank like mine, or if you're like happy with your rank, or do you still go with those differentials? That's why I still want to keep like a Bruno Fernandes. Why I want to go with a Jarrod Bowen. Like in game week 33, when I want him the most, he's got Southampton. It could be a massive haul that week with the way Southampton can see chances. So that also has to come into your line of thinking. And if Haaland is out, is it just back to Salah for captaincy? Or could you risk it with someone else? These are the questions. We're into the last 9 weeks of the season. It is going to be down to personal preference. So to finish up with my team selection and final thoughts, I think you've just got to wait for the press conferences. A lot of it's going to be dictated by what Pep Guardiola says about Erling Haaland. And look, his track record in telling us the goods is not the best. And I'm not holding up much hope, if I'm being brutally honest with you. But at the moment, I'm rolling with the Haaland draft. I am hoping that he's going to be fit. If he's fit, it's unbelievably good. A lot of people are probably going to be turned off by it and probably going to be on a Marmoush. This could well be dictated by price changes between when you watch this video and the deadline tomorrow. On Monday night, I'm expecting there to be some price changes. Maybe Marmoush goes dramatically up and I have to bring him in regardless. And maybe Haaland's going to be dropping. These are things that I'm not sure of, but I'm hoping that that is not the case. And I can leave it till deadline day when we do get those press conferences, because that is going to be really fundamental to my decision-making based on that. Again, let me know in the comments if you've got any final questions. I hope to see you on the deadline stream tomorrow. It will be starting at 4:15 UK time. I believe the first game tomorrow night is at 7:45. So yeah, I'll be on there from then. And I hope to see you all there. Good luck in game week 30 from Wildcard. Let us know what your draft is. I'm very intrigued to know. And if you've got any improvements for the team selection I've come up with. Thanks for watching. That's been The D Unit.